Bianca.
So, thank you, Stefan, for allowing us back. Clearly, we didn't break the church too much last year. I'll try and not break anything. So, thank you very much. Yeah, it's lovely just to stay with you guys. You're a good friend, love you, and it's great to see the strides that you're making in God, in spirit, and we cheer you on, and well done. Really well done. Yeah. And well done to all of you guys as well, just for supporting Stefan and your walk with God. You guys do great. So, yeah, you look good. But I want to tie on and tag on to what Bianca said now. So, I don't think that message is just for one person, but I believe that God wants to bring a calibration this morning. I do believe that He wants to bring a shift this morning. I saw a hot needle, and He's taking a hot needle and He's piercing hearts this morning. I know when God speaks. I know my own nature. Ek weet ek waar ek val. Ek ken my tekortkome. And I know when He speaks, and He showed it to me so clearly. So I would like us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So if He wants to pierce your heart, just allow Him to do that. Amen. Just allow Him to do that. Maar miskien voordat ons begin, almal staan asseblief. Almal staan. Okay. Right. Follow me. Right. Do this. Both hands. Right. Toes. Up again. Down again. Up again. All right, you can sit down. Thanks. We are preparing for a race this morning. And we just did a little bit of warming up. All right. You know, I thought it fitting to preach on the amazing race. You know, lots of this weekend and Motoring Spirit and all that. So, and I believe that God is saying to us this morning that we must run His pace. If I can tag on to what Bianca said, that we must give Him the control back. I believe we must run in step with the Spirit. I believe we must, He's our pace setter. And maybe, and I felt this, that we are content with where we are. We are at peace with where we are, which is great. It's a wonderful step. Because you need to be content. But at the same time, you also need to press on. In those words in Afrikaans, I can't put it in English. This is van jy lende lammers. Yeah. The first person can tell me what lende lammers in English. Coffee's on me afterwards. Okay. But basically, I'm going to try my best. You are almost paralyzed with tiredness and maybe fear. And you are in a neutral position or maybe moving sluggishly forward, but you're not running at the pace that God actually wants you to run in. And maybe fear paralyzes you. And one of the things that marathon runners will tell you is sometimes you have race day jitters. You know, you are great in community. You are awesome at home. Hey, but when the rubber hits the road and it needs to count out there in the marketplace, you're just struck with fear. You cannot move forward. There's all sort of thoughts coming in and doubts coming in, and you just can't get any traction. I believe this message is for us, for me, and for you this morning. Right. Last year, I spoke about, this is my bulb, by the way. You might. It is. It is a cool bomb. My sister gave it to me. We are a light bulb. And the brighter we shine, if you remember from last year, the brighter we shine, the more resistance we give. So the more you resist, the brighter you will shine. So these new light bulbs isn't great because you can't see the filament or whatever it is called. And I challenged us last year to shine our light. And the message was to fight the good fight, if you were to recall. So this is about the amazing race, and that is to run the race with endurance at the pace which God created you, purposed, willfully designed you for. Because we can go ahead of Him, or we can be behind him, or we cannot be part of it all. The great news is that we all exercised and warmed up today, and we have all race numbers. I hope you're ready. A race number means that we have qualified for this race. Now, when you qualify, it means that you are saved. It means that you say to Jesus, yes, come stay in my heart. I want you to be in control. And the moment you did that in your life, the moment you did that, congratulations, you just qualified for an amazing race. Whether your only run is to the fridge or to the loo, guess what? We are a different type of runners as well this morning. And we're running the eternal and amazing race. Not eternal, it's an amazing race here, but we are heading for a prize that is unseen. Right, so it is Hebrews 12 verse 1 that is actually the main scripture this morning. Hebrews 12 verse 1. So if you're making notes, the Bible says it all. Just while you do that, God showed me that you are truly the keys of the city. I guess you have a lot of preachers coming here and doing their jig and all of that, but I really, really did feel, and you know, in saying that you are the answer to Oathsworn and you, everything, but I really did see that you are the keys to the city. And I believe prayer is critical and key to that. I don't know what that meerkat heel is of kopie is. It's the gebouw. It's not a kopie. Nie. Het jy kopies? Nie koffie, koffie kopies. Nie. Okay. So maybe go and pray on the kopies. You know. And I'm serious. I want to ask you to do that, to wait up prayerfully, to actually go and pray for Oathsworn on one of those kopies. If that's on your heart, you know, why don't you just approach Stefan and maybe take one or two guys. Do it for a couple of weeks. All right, I really did see the keys there. All right, Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely to us, so we can run the race with endurance. Just like the joy that was set before Jesus, he overcame the cross, we are to run this race. But guess what? There's going to be things that's going to hold you back. It's going to be weights and sin. And it's going to keep you from running the pace and the race that God wants you to race, because he's purposefully designed you to run a certain pace. You have these elite runners. There was a guy called Elliot, Roshkin, whatever. He ran a marathon yesterday, sub 2 hours, 1:59. I'm not going to get jealous and get all, you know, go up Myth Tree because I can do it. I mean, he's running a different race from me. I'm just doing the best that I can do in what God purposed for me, for my life, his will, how he's designed me, and each of us are in a different place. Louis Malarbe, everyone who knows who Louis Malarbe is, congratulations, you're older than 40. He said that we must be maximum man and maximum vrou wees. You must be the best version of you that you can be. But it means you're going to have to lay a couple of things down. The cloud of witnesses that Paul is referring to, he's referring to Hebrews 11, the men and the ladies, the women of faith. And he's saying that we have this great cloud of witnesses, of people that were looking forward to the promise that we are walking in now. They were credited by faith, but they don't have the promise that we are walking in now. And they wanted the new dispensation, the new testament that we have right now. And we are walking in it now. This is after Pentecost. It was after the outpouring of the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, that runs alongside us. It comes alongside us. It helps us to run this race. We're going to watch a clip a little later. And it's with his help that we can actually do it step by step. So this cloud of witnesses, is actually bearing testimony of what we're walking in. I also felt, just on that, that there is a passing of aflostoki. Yes. I wasn't sure if it's a baton or baton, so I was hoping that someone will translate for me. I saw aflostoki, and I think we've got a responsibility to be faithful in this congregation. We need to be faithful to our children, to ourselves, and to one another, because we're on submission to one another as well. And there's a responsibility to remain faithful and to hand over that baton. That's something else that I felt as well. All right, going back to Hebrews 12, verse 1. The putting aside. That putting aside says, apotemai. Please, I'm not Stefan, so he can really mine into the Greek of that. But that word occurs four times in the New Testament. At every time it is used, Hebrews 12, verse 1, Ephesians 4, 25. Mind you, you can bring up Ephesians 4, 25. So that word is used for falsehood. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So it's the same word that's used in Hebrews 12, verse 1. It's the same word that's used in 1 James. It's the same word that's used in 1 Peter 2. And every time it uses this word, putting away, it speaks about filth. It speaks about falsehood. It speaks about malice. It speaks about jealousy, etc. So it's always a negative connotation. Always a negative connotation, this word, to put away. And I believe that there's a couple of things that we need to put away so we can run the race and as a congregation move forward. So Stefan, he preached last week, he mentioned there's four things. You touched on it this morning as well. So who can remember the four things that Stefan preached on last week? One of them, he already spoke, two of the points he already touched on this morning. Devotion, what was the others? Yes. Sorry? Yes, there was another one as well. Devoted, to be devoted to one another. Yeah. Well, that was the message, the whole, yes. So I want to, there's a couple of things that I want to tie onto that this morning. That's why I thought it was fitting to speak on this. Because if we were to run the race properly, we need to have this in place. And we need to adjust, maybe calibrate the way we are running, the way we are going about things, the way we see ourselves, the way we see one another. We might have to calibrate that. So you can bring up the first picture. So there's a couple of things that we do. The first picture, the other one. That one, yes. All right. So there's a couple of things that we do. It's quite amazing. It's quite entertaining to see our runners. Yesterday, everyone with their paraphernalia and GPSs and all of that. Defibrillator. And God wants us to get rid of that junk. Can I say junk? Is that a fine word? Okay, it's a fine word, yeah. He wants us to be streamlined. So I just bought a Honda the other day. I'm in debt, but, you know. And some people at work said, you know what you need to now do? You need to drop it. You need to soup it up, and you need to do certain things. I said to them, it's fine. I don't want to keep my warranty and all of that. And I was reminded of a preacher that Andrew Sellier did. Andrew Sellier is the lead elder of Josh Jean. And he did a preach in 2012. And he said, you know what, sometimes we bolt things on to our walk with God. You know, we put things on. And I don't know about you, but that's going to slow us down. Yeah. It's going to make us lag, not run the way we are optimally God wants you to run. And he said that he used the picture of surfers that would put surfing racks on their cars. You know, they've surfed like 6 months ago, but anyway, they're surfers. And I want people to know that their identity is their culture is that of surfers. And very often we attach identity to who we are. And actually all God wants us to be is His children, His son and His daughter. If you're a leader in this congregation, I want you to know there's relationship first. I want you to drop the title. All right. Drop the title because we are nothing. We are nothing if it wasn't for His grace. All right. It is not the title. All right. We are all dependent on His grace. Yes, there's some function that He's giving us. This responsibility that He's given us. And first and foremost, we relate to one another. Paul said that, hey, I'm Paul, the apostle. Right. Is that right? And we need to be comfortable with who we are. We add things sometimes too because we feel esteemed. We feel people give us recognition. But it's only His recognition that we need. It's only His affirmation. His affirmation that we need. The next picture, the one putting one step in front of the other, that one. So yesterday during the run, I was quite happy with my run up until 18 kilometers, and then something happened. I think I blew a gasket or something, I don't know. And then the last 3 kilometers was just torturous. And then I think 300 meters, 200 meters towards the end, you know, there was people cheering me on. It's great. I think there was some Josh Jennings as well. And that's actually when we need the cheering on. Not when we're doing great, but it's actually when we need it. And you know, all I was focusing on is just one step at a time. Galatians 5:25. I was focusing on one step at a time. I could not, it was only 3 kilometers. I mean, what is 3 kilometers if you've just done 18? But I couldn't see myself run 3 kilometers. I just couldn't. I gave it everything up until that point. I could only focus on one step at a time. And Galatians 5:25 says that if we live in the Spirit, we will also keep in step with the Spirit. And it ties in with what Stefan preached on. And sometimes you can only focus on one step at a time, one day at a time. And that's all that matters. It's all that matters. I try to never make a big decision in my life on an uphill. Stefan used to say this thing many years ago. You might have heard him say, it's not how high you jump, but how straight you walk once you land. And we need to be seeing one another in our bad times and in our good times. And you might be running a race today, but tomorrow you might be a volunteer, or you might be a coach, or you might be a fan. And very often we are cheering other people on in their race because we cannot change one another. I don't know, shocking statement? You cannot change someone else. I cannot change my wife. Unfortunately, she can't change me, but she can model something to me and I can model something to her. We can be examples to one another. We can cheer one another on. So you might not be running today, but you might be a coach. We might be a mentor. So we have our roles. Accountability is great. Brian, who brought the word earlier, that word of the stars, he is a great accountability partner. So over July, August, something happened. I went away, he went away, and my training program went backwards. All right. Because he just wasn't there, and I missed him, he missed me, and it's amazing just how you want to just lie in when you know that someone is not waiting for you when you run. And we need accountability partners. We cannot do this alone. We need one another. But Brian actually pointed something out interesting. He said, I don't know if you know, but when you get tired, you actually start to run fast. I said, oh, okay, yes. And he actually pointed out the times that I did that. So accountability will point out any defaults and cycles in our life. I know now when I speed up, I must slow down. I cannot listen to my defaults, my own body, my selfish self. So I've learned now I must pace myself. So when I get busy in life and I start seeing people and meetings on meetings, I say, hey, wait a minute. I think I'm getting tired. So we're trying to compensate a lot of times. And a lot of times we want to white knuckle it. You know what white knuckle is? We want to do it on our own strength. It's exactly when God says, you know what? I need you now to pull back. A lesson that I've learned in running is never to run when you're sick. You've heard that. Some of us are sick. God wants you to not run right now. Okay. Doesn't want you to run right now. He needs to be healing. So I spoke about the needle earlier. I spoke about he wants to pierce hearts this morning. Calloused hearts. Maybe you need to be real with yourself. Why? Maybe you're serving out of compulsion. Maybe you're serving out of fear. Whatever. Just revisit your goals. Why are you doing this? Why are you running this race? Sports psychologists, they say when you hit the wall is this proverbial wall that marathon runners will hit between 28 and 32 kilometers. I think I hit the wall yesterday. It felt like it. So this is proverbial wall, and what sports psychologists say is when you hit the wall, you must internalize things. So please, this is not spiritual, this is sports psychologists. But we can actually draw parallels. And they say that you must internalize it. In other words, what they're saying is cut out the noise. Cut out the noise. People around you. Focus on him, on his voice. Focus on his voice. And remember, as I said earlier, that I felt that some of you are Lindelum. Lindelum. You're okay with where you're at, and you make peace with that, and God is in control. But you're not running the pace that he wants you to run. Yes. Who feel? Rickety. Coffee on me. The second thing is the sports psychologist says, okay. Are there some single guys in this congregation? We've got amazing single ladies in Cape Town. Just no heavies, not putting it on you, but maybe come and visit. I cannot believe that some of our ladies is not married. I think God is blinding people, blinding men deliberately, and maybe keeping them for a reason. Anyway, sorry, squirrel. Sorry. The second thing that the sports psychologist is saying is that, okay, once you've internalized, so we know it's meditating on God, cutting out noises, focusing on him. We know that means not looking at the waves. If I can talk Christianese now, it means we must look at him. We know that. The second thing that they say is revisit your goals. Why are you doing this? So Preachers Club 101 will tell you when you use an analogy like running, you mustn't throw in another analogy like puzzles, but I'm going to break that now. But sometimes we need to put up the puzzle box again and try and see why this piece doesn't want to fit in here. Look at the box. And okay, you know what? The color shading is slightly off. It's maybe not this one. Because sometimes we just want to jam it in there. It doesn't want to fit in. I've waited so long. I need the recognition. I've done it. I've worked. I've labored. I've toiled. This piece needs to go in here, and it needs to come in now. God is actually saying, you know what? There's a bigger picture. There's a goal. And Jesus' goal was the joy that was set before him, because he knew what was lying on the other side of the cross. We will overcome by the joy of the Lord, because then we are in him. There's a tension of our identity is in him, but it's challenging us to be better, because there's a purpose and a race. The third thing that the sports psychologists will say is that you may have to change your game plan. Doesn't always go according to plan. So Hebrews 12 verse 1 that we said earlier is that we must run the race of endurance that's set before us. So as elke net nie dieselfde race nie. Okay. So very often you're going to be surprised with what you get. And 10 out of 10 times you would not have anticipated it. Right. So that's where it helps to have the Holy Spirit. So Ephesians, a glass of water. Okay. So Ephesians speaks of a certain things that we need to do to run this race. It speaks about integrity, to run. Well, I'm going to use a little bit of preacher's license. Okay, it actually says walk in integrity, but. We're going to run this. Okay. All right. So just we've warmed up earlier and we're all fine. We're going to run this. Okay. All right. So we're going to run with integrity. All right. This is actually a nice definition that I saw of it the other day. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, 1, 2, the state of being whole and undivided. I thought that was quite nice. Yes, thank you. To run the race with integrity. Ons gaan nie kroek nie, ons gaan nie shortcuts vat nie, ons gaan nie fast foods vat nie, ons gaan nie superfoods vat nie. We're going to do this the old-fashioned way. Ons gaan gym toe, ons gaan oefen, ons gaan reg eet. It's a lifestyle. It's not a season. It's a way of life. It's going to be sacrificial. We're going to do it because we've got a goal. Are you with me? Let's do it. Right. Okay. Run with integrity. Unity. Humility comes before unity, actually. It's quite a... the secret of unity is humility. So, julle pastoor het gepraat oor humility, so I'm not going to try and better that. Download the preach of last week if you didn't hear it. Humility is key. Unity follows. Same mind, same purpose, same goal, same body, same head, same direction, the same faith. Unified in the blood of Jesus. We have the same intentions. We've got the same struggles. We share the same struggles. But we have victory in God. The victory is real. Johan? Blame it, my bro. Blame it, my. Okay. I'm going to see if you're going to nod over. Right. I'm going to point it out. Okay. Right. Okay. He got up 3 o'clock the other night. So I think he's still. Yeah. Charitability is another thing we must run in. Walk, but run. So what it says is that we must forgive other people and extend grace to other people like God has done for us. We mustn't forget where we come from. We must remember what God did for us. And very often we are stricter than God is. We place a greater burden or a qualification on other people than what God did for us. And we forget actually the process. That's my stopwatch. I can't believe it. Have I gone for 25 minutes? Have I? I'm not even halfway. Well, that's a problem. Okay. That's a real problem. Okay. Am I talking slowly or what? Okay. I must run fast then. Okay, so maturity is another one. You must walk in maturity. Philippians, okay, don't put it up. Philippians 3, I'm going to talk faster, okay? Philippians 3, it says that we must have this mindset of maturity that we will grasp, where we will stretch, and we will press on to the things that's ahead of us. So very often we must forget where we come from, but we must reach out. That means that's the vision. Someone spoke about vision. Where are you? Vision guy. Was he? Stick your hand up. Yes. Yeah. Hope and vision. And God wants to give us a vision today. He wants to say that, you know what, you can actually do this. I want to tell you this morning, you can actually do this. I need you to be strengthened in God this morning and run this race, to give yourself to this purpose, because there's something specific that God has designed you for. But you need to get rid of the things that we're bolting on, the fears that we are allowing to drag us down. Because just like a car, you're gonna forfeit the performance of a car and even force the car for an early retirement, because you're going against what the car has been purposed for. And God wants to, I believe, challenge us this morning with regards to that. A lesson that I've learned is never to run past a watering point in my life. Never to run past the watering point. Because by the time that you're thirsty, it's really too late, apparently. The clever people says. So you must stay hydrated in God. You must actually stay refreshed in Him all the time. And you know what I'm equating the watering points? Yes, it is quiet times. Yes, it is. But this morning's focus is on the horizontal, because we focused on the vertical. Yes, your identity must be set in God. Yes, you must be like this with Him, and it is about Him. But once you have that established, then now what? Okay? There's some stuff that we need to do on earth. Right, God gave us faith and prayer for a reason, because we're not going to need it in heaven. So it clearly needs a purpose right now. And He gave it for us for a reason. So we need to work on this. And you know what I'm seeing as a watering point is the fellowship of the saints. It's the spending time together. It is the meeting. It's the prayer meetings. Here, kijk maar, je frons, je verstaan het, nou, ja. Watering points. Wat moet gerefresh blijven. That's something that I've learned. We must never run past the watering point. Het ons dit? Nog niet. Okay, nog een punt gauw vannacht. Never compare yourself with someone else. It's quite amazing. The runners, there's quite a few runners here. There's a whole lot of great ooms and tannies that will finish in front of me. And I cannot understand how that's possible. I really cannot understand it. But you know, that's just the economy and the way God works. Because each and every one of us is in a different place. So we did a little study. I really feel under pressure because I'm on a time, yeah? But it's a very interesting study. It was done over a period of 3 years, over 240 countries, so it's quite legit, okay? Quite legit. And what they're saying here is that the seniors are taking the lead in marathon running, and this is what they're saying. The age group 90 to 99, yes, 90 to 99, had the highest growth in participation in 2015. Age group 90 to 99 also had the highest overall growth in participation. Age group 20 to 29 had the highest decline. Age group 40 to 49 is the most popular in all the continents except North America. This is quite a legit thing. So it actually tells you, you know, the more mature you get in God, the more content you will be. And you're not going to be rushed. You know, the young people are all rushed. We're going to rush just to sit somewhere and look at our phone. But actually, you know, God just wants us to be in a moment. You are where you are because God placed you here. And to be actually okay with it. And be content with it. And we're not going to rush ahead of where God wants us to be. And the thing about maturity is to actually run in that. And because you settled in that mindset, you can actually endure for longer. So part of this message is also of maturing.